And we welcome you to the Labor Day edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Schopp, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Birds on the Black, and Tara Wellman on Twitter, coming to you between games of Sunday's doubleheader. The Cardinals are doing their darndest to, you know, I think maybe we should just play doubleheaders all the time, Tara. I don't yeah. see that there's any real issue here. Seems to be working out for the Cardinals this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. We saw a lot of conversation about how difficult this weekend was going to be. And let's be real. I mean, there's still a day game on Monday to play, and then that's the first of a four-game series. So, like, there's potential for there to be a crash somewhere along the line here after powering through these couple of days of doubleheaders. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about how this is a first place team and now they're playing this really bizarre, very unusual schedule over a weekend that really matters at this point for them. And that could be problematic. And as it turns out, they've certainly made the best of it. They haven't made it easy on themselves for all three games so far, but they're playing like a team on a mission, regardless of what the schedule is in front of them, which is really fun to watch. It's refreshing to see because we haven't always seen that from them. I was telling someone just a few minutes ago that this team has gone from super boring to incredibly exciting in a pretty short period of time. So I don't know if we want to try to play doubleheaders all the time, but it certainly hasn't hurt them this weekend. We'll just settle for that.
Yeah, it's almost like a team has a finite amount of good, exciting baseball. And the Cardinals said, well, if we've only got so much, we'll put it in storage for June and July and most of May, and we'll bring it out at the end of the year when it really matters. And that's fine with me, I guess, though it did make it a little anxiety-ridden for most of the summer. Nobody's going to remember that if the Cardinals continue to play the way they're playing right now. Sitting in first place by three, depending on, I haven't checked the Cubs score, but depending on how that game goes and then how tonight's game against the Reds go, I don't think anybody really thought we'd be going into Labor Day. And I don't think the Cardinals have a commanding lead by any chance, given the fact that there are seven games to the Cubs and this thing can change on a dime, no problem. But it's a lot more comfortable than I think we were expecting even just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, even at the beginning of this week, I would say. I mean, three games is really nothing when you look at the standings, particularly with the schedule they still have against the teams that they're competing with in the division. But it's significant in that they have fallen far enough behind a couple of times this year where we thought, well, you know, if they lose three more or they get three more games behind, whatever it is, that probably means the end of their division hopes, if not their playoff hopes. And then to turn it around as they have to play pretty much on this pace since the All-Star break. And then, you know, I don't want to say this because it's like I'm harping on it, but to do it without any reinforcements at the trade deadline, it's impressive in a lot of ways. You've gotten some guys back. Obviously, Marcell Ozuna being back is significant, although I don't know that he's tearing the cover off the ball, but he's still Marcell Ozuna and can come up with that big hit whenever. We've seen Paul Goldschmidt still be pretty mediocre as far as Paul Goldschmidt goes, but you're getting contributions from Dexter Fowler and Colton Wong, and as of late, Harrison Bader, and you know other guys are coming up in those situations and coming through, which is what was not happening in the tougher stretches of the season. So as far as the division lead is concerned, it's nothing like comfortable, but it is enough now that you feel like it's for real in that they're capable of maintaining that sort of play to maintain that sort of lead, as opposed to just sort of stumbling into a division lead because the Cubs aren't very good, which may still be part of this, but that's out of their control. And right now they're doing what they need to do to maintain that position, as opposed to hoping everyone else around them falls apart.
Right. And, you know, we saw that because the Cubs go into New York and a series that a lot of non-Cub fans were thinking, okay, well, they'll be lucky to win it. Could get swept. And instead they go in and sweep you know, a Mets team that's, you know, not great, has kind of gone off their hot streak, but still had Stroman and Syndergaard and DeGrom. You go out and beat those three pitchers. And in normal times, I think we would say, oh, here come the Cubs. Here we are worried about that. But the Cardinals have. They've played their game, and they continue to win. And this is the benefit of going into September with a lead, unlike trying to chase somebody down. It's not something we've seen since 2015, really, to go in and actually have a little bit of control over your own destiny. And it's made for some fun baseball. You know, and again, two games in a row where they've won in the bottom of the ninth against the Reds. A comeback's pretty much every day, it feels like, in some form or fashion, whether it's getting down early and coming back early or coming back late. They have, like you said. And, of course, to add to all that, you've got Yadier Molina hitting like...
Yeah.
I don't even want to know what year Yadier Molina... You know, what year are you at 20-something months? It's been crazy to see how this lineup has started to coalesce, especially with Dexter Fowler at the top of the lineup. Everything just seems to be going Mike Schilt's way right now. And, I'm not going to complain about it.
I'm not going to say the offense took off when Colton Wong moved up in the lineup, but I'm just going to throw it out there. No, you're right. Dex at the top has been sort of a revelation. And, he's had an interesting season because it's really been great, but underrated, I think, by a lot of people, which might be because the lineup as a whole hasn't been that impressive for very long stretches of time. So to see Dex doing what he's doing, to see that paired with Colton Wong playing probably as well as he really ever has, at least for a prolonged stretch, and then to see other guys following somewhere in the lineup, whether it's Yadier Molina or whether it's Tommy Edman or whether it's, you know, whoever it is on any given day, Matt Carpenter coming up with a big hit, Paul DeJong coming up big a couple of times, guys contributing to follow up that Dexter Fowler, Colton Wong duo at the top. But then on a game like today where you don't have Colton Wong and Paul DeJong starting in the first game today, you're still getting contributions up and down the lineup. Maybe not right away. It took a little while to get things going, but nonetheless, you still are seeing lots of runners on base. You're seeing lots of hard hit balls. That was the thing against Sonny Gray in the night game on Saturday, is that even before the scoring really started happening, you know, you were seeing a lot of hard hit balls. They were hit at the wall and spectacular defensive plays were made, that sort of thing. So a lot more to like from the offense, even when, you know, even outside of the actual runs scoring, which I think is something that we haven't seen a whole lot of, again, in a prolonged stretch. We've seen it in sort of isolated incidents, but not something that they've been able to continue. And that's the real test down the stretch here, because, as you said, you know, there are enough games against the Cubs left to haunt anyone's dreams of the postseason at this point. If you worry about that offense falling off a cliff like it has at times, but getting that contribution, kicking it off with Dexter Fowler at the top, has really seemed to be a spark plug. And that's kind of what we'd been waiting for from the Dexter Fowler to St. Louis experience all along, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's what the Cardinals signed him for, is that and play center field. And while he's played some center this year, he's not going to play probably much with Harrison Bader out there now, but to move him up to the leadoff spot, and you're right, and it's not just Dexter. It's really is Colton Wong hitting right behind him, because that means more than likely in the first inning, somebody's going to be on base. And and while Paul Goldschmidt and Marcelo Zuna haven't necessarily capitalized as much, you know, you're just getting runners on, and that's a big deal. At some point in time, it's going to pay off, and we've seen that late on in this series especially. Now, I also want to, on the flip side of that, you got to give some credit to the starting pitching as well. We saw, and that was the big question for this weekend, right? It was, man, if somebody has to go to their bullpen in the third inning of game one, you know, you could be, or third inning in any of these games, but really early on, you could be kind of strapped. And I know rosters expand today, but, you know, especially for yesterday, it could have really snowballed. And then the Cardinals go out and get, seven plus, almost eight innings out of Dakota Hudson. And then Michael Wacha comes out and pitches probably the best game we've seen of him, definitely in the second half, probably a long, long time. And then you had Miles Michaelis today, who gave up three runs, but, you know, did it early and kept the team in the game. If the starting pitching isn't there, you know, it makes it much more harder for the teams to come back. And so I give you, you know, I mean, we know the bullpen is probably going to be fine. I mean, there's a little bit of cracks here and there, but overall the bullpen has been the really great. But if we can get the starting pitching, and, you know, we haven't seen Jack Flaherty in this thing, so it's not like we're, you know, the aces that gotten a chance to go. You get these other starting pitching to go with an offense that's going to put up 3 to 4 to 5 runs on a regular, you can take off real fast, and I think that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, all the angst about the starting pitching, and I think for good reason. I mean, it's not like we're just yelling at clouds here about the starting pitching. Right. There have been legitimate concerns, and every one of those guys in the starting lineup has shown the potential to spiral pretty dramatically. So the concerns about the starting pitching have been real. I do think it's interesting, though, when you think about last year and that torrid pace they were on in August, and then in September really relying on Jack Flaherty and, you know, Austin Gomber and Dakota Hudson to some extent, depending on those young arms to carry them through, and it started to fall apart. Mm-hmm. So this is where it's going to get interesting to see those guys who have really kind of come into their own in the second half of the season continue that trend and continue to step up. Whatever happens with Michael Wacha for me is kind of a bonus, just because it's so unpredictable when he's going to be good and when he's going to fall apart. But to get Dakota Hudson and Jack Flaherty to where they are at this point in the season, it feels like the trajectory is good for them to carry that through September. But that's going to be huge. That's going to be such a key for this team that for a long portion of this season struggled to call anyone the ace of that staff because no one was performing like it. So, yeah, huge pitching performances from Dakota Hudson, from Michael Wacha. How Wacha follows that up in his next start will be really interesting. But Hudson, I think, in particular, has shown a really impressive ability to adjust from one start to the next after that really, really rough start to the season. It's kind of like he got through that, and perhaps this is credit to Mike Schilt in sticking with him and continuing to say, nope, he's our guy. We know he's gonna figure it out. Maybe some of those games that they lost could come back to haunt them at the end of the year, but that's a different point. But my point is that he's been able to make those adjustments, and he got better and better and better, and now we're seeing, in many ways, the best version of Dakota Hudson and at the perfect time. So it's been impressive to watch him just sort of gradually make those improvements and find the ability to adjust within a game, to stay in a game even without his best stuff, and then to really go out and overpower teams when he's absolutely on his A game. It's been fun to watch.
It has been. And the good thing about, as you said, those guys kind of struggled last year, but they went through it last year. So they know what it's like, and they know what September means, especially in a pennant race. And, you know, last year the Cardinals were trying to chase down the Brewers at the time for the wild card, and did briefly. But those guys know what this kind of pressure situation is like. Now, once you get into October, all bets are off, and who knows. But, you know, that experience from last year can only be good for them. And we've seen, especially Jack Flaherty, take it up a notch, and Dakota Hudson as well. I keep trying to say Orlando Hudson. Man, that's just weird. That's like old-timey baseball almost now.
It's fine. He's still new, right?
Yeah, I guess. Either that or my mind is going one of the two, and let's not get into that. But to see those guys, and you know, that means that, you know, one of those two guys is probably going to go in every series. And then you've got Michaelis, who can be good. He doesn't walk anybody. I think I heard the stat today that he has walked two or less in 43 straight starts or something like that, which is just insane. Unfortunately, they're hitting him a little harder than they, you know, sometimes you might want him to walk some guys. But
trade off is a few more home runs,
yeah,
but, you know.
It does seem to be the case. But, you know, again, we've seen some bad ones. We've seen a lot of pretty good games out of that. And you put that in an Adam Wainwright at home, and boy, I mean, in the fact that, as we talked, I think, last week, about the fact that Mike Schilt is aggressive with Michael Wacha. Now, this week, you know, obviously last night, he didn't have to be, and that's great. I mean, you want to see that out of Michael. But, you know, if he's going to give up two or three runs in the first inning, then I don't think Mike Schill has any compunction to pull him at a time where, you know, they need to, especially now that people like Genesis Cabrera and Mike Myers and Junior Fernandez and all these different arms are on the roster. You know, he's not going to worry about whether Michael Walker can get in through five. He's going to just take as much as he can and at the first sign of trouble, go with it. And you do that, boy, it's you like that's why we can see this extended run. And I think it's just remarkable to see. And I don't know if we'll see how well it works. We'll see how long it lasts. But you got to like the fact that they've got that control.
Yeah, and I think someone mentioned it on Twitter, and I was looking at it. Right now it sets up for Jack Flaherty to pitch in both of the final two Cubs series and potentially in game 162 as that last effort to shut it down. Mm-hmm. So for a guy who's pitched as well as he has since the break, that lines up quite conveniently if they should choose to do that. There are a couple of off days where they could move things around if necessary, but it's all of a sudden we're talking about, you know, which one of those guys you want to start in the toughest games in the toughest series, as opposed to, man, how are we going to survive in these tough series because of the struggling starting pitching 1-5, which is a tremendous switch in narrative at this point of the year for these guys that, like I said, for good reason, there were a lot of questions about for a lot of the season. It's nice to see them, at least at this point, proving some of those concerns wrong.
Yeah, I just kind of hope that, you know, that last off day is right before that last Cubs series. I'm hoping they've already clinched by then, so
yeah.
Flaherty can just save up for that first game of the division series instead.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling it's not going to be quite that easy, but we'll find out and see. It hasn't been so far. Boy, you know, the Cardinals did make roster moves today. I didn't get a chance to see much of this afternoon's game, so I don't know how many have come into play yet. But I think the most notable one was, I mean, they put Lane Thomas on the 60-day DL, which ended his season. He probably was going to be, you know, he was talking a big game about coming back, but wrist fracture and the fact that they never seemed to use Lane Thomas anyway probably had something to do with it. And so they were able to bring up Joe Hudson, because I need another Hudson to talk about,
right,
as the basically fourth catcher with with Wieters out for a couple of days. That was a little strange. I mean, either they're really concerned about Matt Wieters or they really want to have that option to let Andrew Kisner hit at some points in time. But I was just a little surprised they went ahead and brought up basically a fourth catcher.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I mean, there were some other guys that I would have thought were on the table to take a spot there if, you know, if they had a 40-man spot available, and they chose to go that route, which a little bit strange. But at the same time, it's not entirely unusual for one of those September call-ups at least to be a guy that you're like, oh, okay. Sure, we'll go with that. And outside of that, everyone else pretty much made sense, I think. So maybe that just that last spot, last ditch effort to put one of those guys on there that has done everything they've asked of him to do in the minor league season, and this is a chance for him to get some big league exposure, even if it's pretty much entirely to ride the bench and talk to Yadier Molina now and then, which is not a terrible way to spend September, I guess. So good for him. But yeah, it was a little strange, although, you know, to be determined the extent of whatever's going on with Wieters. So right, that could be an issue there, too.
I'm perfectly willing to take that job of sitting on the and talking to Yadi. I make it. I would bet that I will get maybe two less plate appearances than Hudson will in September.
That's probably fair.
That may be exaggerating a little bit. but, yeah, and the only other one was the fact that the Cardinals then re-added Mike Myers to the 40-man roster. You know, earlier in the year, they went ahead and waived Myers. He cleared waivers, went to Memphis. And then after cutting Drew Robinson this week, everybody kind of thought Jake Woodford was going to take that 40-man spot. The fact that he didn't and does need to be protected this year, I think that's kind of a little bit telling of what the Cardinals think they have in Jake Woodford. And maybe the idea is that he's pitched enough innings already, but I would think that they thought he was a viable option. They'd bring him up as a long man or something of that nature, but from what the articles I was reading, his name never really came up in conversation, and the fact that Austin Gomber had a better chance, even having been hurt for so long, to get the call up, and he didn't either. But I don't know what that really says about what they think about Jake Woodford.
Yeah, there are certainly things that could be read into it. I think it's, anything at this point is assumption, right? Because mm-hmm. it could just be that they don't anticipate Mike Myers staying on the roster for next year. I don't know. Sure. There are ways to add him to the 40-man to protect him this offseason if they should choose to do that. If there's someone that they feel is in a better position to contribute down the stretch. It is a little strange to me that they think that guy's Mike Myers, but that's neither here nor there. Woodford is a guy that has been on the radar for a lot of fans, hasn't seemed to really be on the radar for the front office as far as an ad they could make to benefit the major league team in 2019. So, I would certainly like to believe that they're a little bit ahead of us in mm-hmm. what their plans are for a guy, but it is a little bit of a head scratcher considering the performances he's put out there this year and the consistency for the most part with which he's been able to do that.
Yeah. He struggled in July, had an ERA over 7, and his last start, which was, today he gave up 6 runs in 6 innings against the Iowa Cubs. So, maybe that's something to it. Maybe he has, at the beginning of the year, he seemed to be a guy that was right on the doorstep, especially when Dakota yeah. Hudson was struggling. And it feels like his season kind of took a step back after that. We'll see. You're right. He'll probably get added to the 40-man at some point in time this off season, but just a little surprising that given the fact that, he didn't, and, a guy that can go 3-4 innings when we're talking about Michael Wacha, or Adam Wainwright or somebody, that these guys that may need to be pulled quickly, to not get him up there was a little bit strange.
I do think, I would say to some degree, there's a usage element to that equation, right? Because like we saw with Lane Thomas, I'm not sure it would do Woodford a whole lot of good to be on the roster if there's not going to be a lot of use there, right? I feel like Mike Schilt has established that he's willing to play young guys. He's willing to put them in big spots. He's also going to stick with the guys who've earned his trust. And I think that's any manager anywhere. That's not a Mike Schilt specific thing. And perhaps there's just not enough time or wiggle room in the standings for Woodford to really earn that position with the manager and then get any valuable innings out of it. Or in the reverse, maybe feel like there's pressure to, be the guy that was so good at the beginning of the season, not the guy that gave up 6 runs in his last start, whatever it is. So, I think the way that he would or wouldn't be used down the stretch may also play into that. If instead Mike Myers will be used by Mike Schilt, which again is a different conversation and a different set of concerns, but part of this conversation nonetheless.
Yeah, and that's fair. But then again, Woodford's not a guy that's going to go to the Arizona Fall League, so all he's going to do is go home and sit. Anyway, yeah. He might as well sit on the big league roster and on the chance that he might get a chance to flip pitch and, soak up the atmosphere and all that. But, I think, and Al and I talked a little bit of this on Meet Me Mutual, but I think that the idea that, next year the expanded rosters are only 2 more guys, and I think that's partly because they don't want to pay the salaries, major league salaries, for a month, which is sad given how, I like that. Christian Yelich just hit a 3-run home run off of Craig Kimbrell. That's been fun for the Cubs. And now I've completely lost. Anyway, I don't think that they necessarily want to pay the salaries if they don't have to. And it's sad because that's, those minor leaguers could use a month of major league salary.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those guys. I know you've talked a lot about that this year, and a lot of other people have as well, but, they're not going to have that going forward. So, it'd be nice to have seen that. But, I get that, they don't want a full clubhouse. They don't want a lot of guys that are just going to sit around and do nothing. And especially at this time of year when they're making this push. If they were 10 games out, they might bring a guy up for experience. But, there's going to be times where they're going to want him to pitch maybe. And, they didn't want to run that risk. So, I don't know. It was a little bit different, but it was good to see. Like I said, Brewers just took a 4-0 lead. It was funny. Alan and I were talking this week and talking about how, after the Cubs just kind of beat up on the Brewers to start on Friday, that the, you know, Milwaukee had no arms whatsoever. They're working on maybe their back-to-back shutouts of the Cubs. So I'm glad to be wrong completely. If that happens, you know, Tara, they win tonight. It's a what, a four-game lead.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, for the fact that, you know, we looked, you know, without the last night, it could have gone all the way down to one, up to four going into Labor Day. I know, like you said, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, but boy, I like that position.
Yeah, and it's, to me, as much about the mental side of playing four games in 2 days. Mm-hmm. Shows a lot of fortitude at this point in the season, right? Like I said, there's potential for it to crash at some point. Hopefully they, you know, work guys into off days in the next week or so, so that it doesn't all happen at once. It looks like Goldschmidt and Ozuna are off for tonight's game. I just saw that lineup posted, so that's a good thing. Not that they've been huge factors in this this weekend series, but you know, they've both come up in some key spots. Goldie had an RBI in the first game. So to get some guys off days to make sure that they're not all going to just crash at once will be significant, and hopefully what we've seen, the energy in the last 2 days, the excitement, the sort of contagious energy of guys like Harrison Bader and Yadier Molina playing like a 12-year-old kid, which is my favorite version of Yadier Molina, Colton Wong and Dexter Fowler. I mean, everybody's got that. You can tell that they can kind of sense it at this point, that it's theirs for the taking. And to see that version of them in this series, rather than the flip side that could have been just sort of this drained, I can't believe we have to play four games in 2 days and five games in, what is it, 56 hours or whatever. That can be a huge mental strain. And, you know, I know there was some conversation about how it's baseball. You should be happy to be. And that's all true. But that doesn't change the fact that these are very, very long days. Mm-hmm. And I think they've come into it with a really great approach, which I think you have to credit Mike Schilt and his staff for. And so far, they've come out of each of these games, obviously, winning helps, but in part they've been able to win these games late because they've maintained that energy throughout. So to see the mental side of the way they've held it together in this weekend series, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I feel really good about where they are and how they can win games. It's just a matter of, you know, not falling back into some of those bad habits that we saw at times this year.
Yeah, and again, it's a tough stretch because you've got the doubleheader, then you've got four straight with the Giants, and then you go to Pittsburgh for three before the next off day. So there's a lot of baseball jammed in there. But on the other side of that, you know, we've talked about the schedule is very favorable for them. They've got that set with the Brewers, which is at home, and we'll see what that means. The Brewers may be fighting for their lives there, and then the Nationals and the Cubs. But the next couple of that series, the Giants and the Pirates especially, and then you go to Colorado, which you never know what's going to happen out there, gives you a good chance, and you got to like it. So I don't know. I don't know what else to say, except it's very much more fun to talk about this team now than it was just a month or so ago.
Right.
So. All right. Well, as Tara said, the second lineup is out. We'll talk a little bit about that kind of a thing next week. We'll see how they finish it off. Hopefully, they'll finish it off. I'd like to see them finish it off maybe like scoring a lot of runs early.
That'd be nice.
So we don't have to hang around to the very, very end, but it's good to know that if they do, they have that ability to come back. So, Tara and I'll be with you next week. We'll talk about the Giants, we'll talk about the Pirates, and hopefully still talking about that first place Cardinal team. So for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey Cardinals fans, thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.